Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It has been said, we must recognize that the death of God is a historical event. God has died in our time, in our history, in our existence. Another has said, God is dead and the church is his tombstone. My dear listener, such statements are so irreverent and blasphemous that we find it repugnant even to quote them in order to introduce our lesson. Yet this is the claim of many prominent people, even religious leaders, who have received widespread publicity and recognition as they spew forth their mockery of truth, threatening the faith of many, especially the young who have not grounded themselves in truth, and enlarging the influence of atheism. Many have foolishly equated scholarship with liberalism and the denial of God. But we agree with David when he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Paul wrote about people who professed themselves to be wise, but they were fools, Romans 1 and verse 22. And I personally have known some of these educated fools. The obituary column is not where one might expect to find the name of God, is it? Some say the idea is so foolish that we need not even talk about it. Now, we know that God can take care of himself, and he will survive these attacks as he always has. It is not a matter of God's survival, but our own, the survival of those around us. If one is swayed by false contention that he is marching toward hell, then we have a duty to try to teach them differently. We need to teach everybody and give everybody the opportunity to know better and to hear the evidence on the behalf of the truth. Such a doctrine that God is dead, it's not a new thing, having been advanced by Nietzsche, a 19th century philosopher who tried to dispose of God. I think we all realize he failed. It's just another form of vice and sophisticated infidelity with all of its attendant evils. What is new about it is that it is declared by some who erroneously, mistakenly, falsely call themselves Christians. One leading advocate a few years ago of this heresy was a professor in a Methodist school, Emory University, that raised $25 million as a so-called Christian school. But with his teaching that God is dead, that was a teaching that was never rebuked, and he was retained as a teacher. Friend, heresy is not just a new thing. It's been characteristic of denominationalism all along as it attempts to retain the name Christian while denying him and denying his teaching. They've done this to baptism, to the Lord's Supper, to the church, to morality. Just about anything and everything is being replaced with the doctrines of these wise men of so-called scholarship. If anyone wonders why we should oppose denominationalism, just look at what denominationalists say. And those who care for the teaching of the Bible will know it must be opposed. And what do these people really mean by the contention that God is dead? Now let us learn of what they do not mean. They do not mean that man has lost sight of God. With this, we could also agree. They do not mean that many no longer take the existence of God seriously. Again, we're sad to note that this is true, and we would agree. And they do not mean that God's influence in many lives has diminished. Everyone can see that. What is it that they mean? They say God is dead only to make way for a new history, a new humanity, a new morality. Just as Satan must be defeated before the kingdom of God can advance, to them God must die before their new order can dawn. It is a promotion of the idea that the concept of God is merely an invention of man who could not explain things otherwise, and it is now outdated and irrelevant since man has become so smart that everything can be explained by science, and there is no need for God. No, they do not believe that God really ever existed, except in the mind of man. Their idea is that man created God, not that God created man. And whereas God's emphasis on this life and the next They contend that God is dead and we now can concentrate only in this life, only on the here and now, and work for the social and the economic and the political solutions to the ills of mankind to the exclusion of any life beyond this one. In other words, God has died because man no longer finds him useful nor to his liking. Now that's what they mean by their teaching. But this false doctrine contends that science has the answer to every question, contends that science has disproved the Bible and the supernatural, and that now we have a logical and scientific answer for every question and every problem. Can anyone of intelligence really believe that science has answered everything and solved all the problems? The doctrine simply tries to bury God and put some self-proclaimed wise men in his place. That's all it is. It is another futile attempt by men to remove themselves from responsibility and accountability to a higher power than themselves. All gods have not died because many men have become their own gods. They teach that God's will is not relevant to our time. The truth is that God's will is unknown and untried. The world generally is ignorant of God and His Word. And this is partially the fault of those who serve God and who fail to get the message to the world. One would do well to pause here and read Romans chapter 1, 18-32, noting how these characteristics of people who cast off God are so similar, often identical, to the characteristics of people of our own day and our own age. We dare not confuse the issue. God is not dead simply because some smart-aleck wishes that He was. Man is the one who is dead, even dead in his sins as he lives. Many want a new history, a new order, a new humanity, a new morality. They want new standards. They want new gods rather than the God who lives. One of the biggest lies propagated in our day is that science has disproven the Bible and the supernatural. Friend, that is a blatant and deliberate lie. There is not one proven scientific fact that must be denied in order to believe the Bible. Nothing has proven to be more unstable and ever-changing than the shifting positions of science. Even with all of its accomplishments, which are legion and they are remarkable, and for which we are grateful, it is incapable of dealing with spiritual matters. Let none be deceived into thinking that science is the answer to the ethical, moral, and religious issues of mankind. Furthermore, there is a growing number of competent scientists who are quick to say this very same thing. Incredible and inconsistent as it is, some claim to follow Christ, but deny that He's the Son of God. They deny His teaching. They assign Him as nothing more than an exceptional man and a great teacher. Well, they will be heard to say that God is dead, but not Jesus. Why, friend, it's intellectually dishonest to try to separate Jesus and the Father. 1 John 2 and verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." In John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Some make the hideous mistake to attempt to take the respected name of Jesus Christ and misuse Him to advance their false doctrines. That's nothing but dishonesty. But dishonesty is a trait of those who deny God. Where is the evidence that God is dead? They do not mean that God is merely disbelieved or that He has lost His influence, but they contend that God is non-existent. But seeing the lack of godliness in the world, they assume God has died, that He never was. Not understanding that man is the one who has died in sin, God is not dead simply because some know Him not. He is not dead because some would like to put Him into a test tube and weigh Him and analyze Him as they would some kind of material substance, but cannot do that with God because He is spirit. Man's unwillingness to conform to God's teaching and travel his own deceptive road is no basis to conclude God is dead. Why, the implication of such a contention are disastrous. Friend, if God is dead, if He is non-existent, then certainly the Bible is false. But it also means there's no right or wrong. There's nothing to prayer. There is no such thing as morality or immorality. No standard of sin or salvation. There's no such thing as immortality. There's no reason for life. There is no hope. There is no law. There is no supreme authority. There is no justice. There's not anything else. Nothing is of any value to mankind whatsoever. Notice the scripture, Matthew 16:16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Friend, God lives. Matthew 22:32 asserts that God is the God of the living, not the dead. And how could God be the God of the living if he himself is dead? Paul said the brethren in Thessalonica had turned from idols to serve the living and true God, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. John 16:67 teaches that Christ lives, and that we shall live by Christ. And Christ said, I live by the Father. So the Father must live. Romans 16:26 calls God eternal. The Old Testament is replete with passages that teach the living God, as well as passages in the New Testament. Oh, this God is dead heresy is stopped in its tracks when God said, I am that I am. That means God is. He shall forever be. His very name, Jehovah, means the eternal and existing one. Paul preached to a group of skeptical intellectuals in Athens at Mars Hill, and it's recorded for us in Acts the 17th chapter. He said God lives, that he's near us, that he made us, that he shall judge us, and that he has ordained Christ his Son as our Savior. And we can live eternally with Jehovah provided we come to him through his Son. And Jesus said, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dr. Altizer of Emory University, some time past, was an advocate of the God is dead doctrine, and he was challenged to an honorable and public debate by several scholarly and faithful brethren. At first he accepted to debate, but he later declined, without explanation. Well, I think we have an explanation. There's not a man living on the face of the earth that can prove God is dead. What is dead is the false and blasphemous doctrine that he and other unbelievers propagate. Thank God for the true and living God, our Father, who has provided for us the Savior, Jesus Christ. This has been The Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.